Today on Hardwired.
In our world, we all have jobs, and we know that if we do well at our job, that's the way we get promoted, that's the way we might get a raise. And so we're on the merit system in most of life. That's why it's so hard for us to understand real Christianity, because real Christianity is not on a merit system at all. It's not performance at all. It's not how you do it, you're doing your job at all. No.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some words of hope, encouragement, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, hardwired.org. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, hardwired.org. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Hardwired.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you for joining us. When we hear a message on Jesus' most famous parable about the prodigal son, it invariably focuses on the main character of the story, the runaway son. But there is a secondary message and a secondary character in the background who we meet toward the parable's end, and that is the elder brother. While he's not the main focus, I believe Christ intended him to be a cautionary tale for us all. I can't wait to share part two of the message, Lost in the House. Let's go.
Isn't it funny how you can be under the same roof but still be home alone? You can be under the same roof and still be home alone. Yeah. Just because you're under the same roof doesn't mean you're communicating. It doesn't mean you're relating. It doesn't mean you're getting to know one another. No, you can dwell in the same house and still be islands, not bridges. And that's the picture that Jesus presents to us in the story of the prodigal son. And we're going to read the second half of the story of the prodigal son today. And I'm going to just give you part two, the last time I'm going to speak on it, of the series Home Alone. Because we have three people, three males, a father and two boys, who are under the same roof, but they're home alone in some really important ways. The household that Jesus presents is comprised of three people, three characters, but they're all home alone in some very important ways. Now, the father in the story, of course, represents God. It's a picture of God. He's good. He's kind. He's benevolent. He's giving. He's merciful. He's just about everything you would want a dad to be. But he's alone in the house because his two boys are going in very different directions from him, under the same roof. The younger son, the story lets us know, soon becomes a runaway rebel and goes into the worst kind of sin, literally ruins his life, destroys his inheritance, goes into the world and just sells out to sin. That's the younger son. And then you have this elder brother. And the elder brother is in the house, but he doesn't share the father's heart. He's not anything like the father. So you got him alone too. The father's alone because the two boys aren't anything like him. Nobody believes or feels like the runaway son. Nobody has the rebellion that he does, so he's alone. And the elder brother we see cannot rejoice with the father, cannot enter into his joy, cannot understand forgiveness, and cannot understand mercy. And so he's alone too. They're all islands living under the same roof. So in Jesus' parable, we see the father is Christ-like, while his older son is not. And that's the picture here. I'm telling you, that's what Jesus meant for us to get, one of the things he meant for us to get. This should not be us, his church. Let me tell you the will of God for the church. People want to know, what's the will of God? I wish I knew the will of God. I'm going to tell you the will of God. Let me tell you the highest will of God for you and me. Are you ready? Here's the highest will of God for you and me. And if you're a child of God, this is his will for you. I'm reading out of Romans 8:29. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son. Now, the second thing I see about this elder brother is he's all about performance. Everything to him is performance. When he hears about how the father has thrown a celebration for his younger brother, I want you to listen to his words again. Listen carefully, because what he says is very telling. The older brother was angry. He wouldn't go in. He could not enter into the joy of the father. His father came out and begged him, but here's what he said. All these years, now listen to this. I've worked hard for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. Now watch this. What is he basing his relationship with the father on? Performance. Performance. Works. Duty. How well he did his job. So his whole relationship with the father was based on a merit system. Not on grace, not on acceptance, not on love, but on a performance system, a merit system. Now, in our world, we all have jobs, and we know that if we do well at our job, that's the way we get promoted, that's the way we might get a raise. And so we're on the merit system in most of life. That's why it's so hard for us to understand real Christianity, because real Christianity is not on a merit system at all. It's not performance at all. It's not how you do it, you're doing your job at all. No. See, he says, all these years I've worked. Now, the word from the Greek language translated into this word work is the word that means slave. All these years I've slaved hard for you. So the other brother doesn't even see himself as a son with the privileges of sonship. No. He sees himself as a slave, earning points. And that's how he maintained his relationship with the father in his mind. Now, the father, we see the way he treated the younger son. The father wasn't about the merit system at all. The father loved those boys. But the younger son didn't receive the love. The older son didn't understand the love, because the older son has come to believe it's all about how I do. It's all about whether I jump through the right hoops. It's all how I perform. And see, folks, that's not Christianity. Let me tell you what it is. That's religion. That's religion. In his mind, his acceptance by the Father boiled down to how well he jumped through the hoops. And then I'm accepted. If I don't jump through the hoop, I'm not accepted. I'm not loved. He doesn't love me anymore. And this is not the way the father was. This elder brother was also a deceived son. The younger son was deceived about the far country. The elder brother is deceived about relationship and what it really was and who the father really was and how the father really loved him, no matter what. Y'all are quiet today. The elder brother is trapped in hardcore religion. He's trapped in religion because religion, listen to me, everybody, religion always requires acceptance by performance. That's religion. That's religion. That's why Paul hated the Judaizers. You read in the book of Galatians, he's angry about these Jewish men who are following along behind him. And he would go into a town and he would preach the gospel and people would be saved. And then when he left, these Judaizers would come in and tell the converts, listen, Paul told you part of the truth, but you can't get to heaven all by grace. No, you've got to obey the Mosaic law and jump through all the hoops that Moses gave. So they mixed religion with grace. And Paul hated that more than anything else because he knew this. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is not by performance. It is not by our merit we get into heaven. Come on, everybody. No, we get into heaven by pure grace. We get in by grace. We get in by grace, by the grace of God. That's how we get in. Not by anything we do. God could leave us here for a million years, and we would never jump through enough hoops to get ourselves into heaven. It reminds me of another man in another one of Jesus' parables. It says in Luke 18, verse 9, listen to this. There were some people who thought they were very good and looked down on everyone else. Everybody say religious people. Because when you live by works and by merit, then it makes you proud and you always look down on other people who are not doing as well. And Jesus used this story to teach them. He said, quote, One time there was a Pharisee and there was a tax collector. One day they both went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood off alone, away from the tax collector. Social distancing in the New Testament, right? He's social distancing, but not because of a disease, but because he thought he was better than him. And so he says, when the Pharisee prayed, I love this. I want you to listen to all the I's that we're about to read. When he prayed, he said, oh God, I thank you that I am not as bad as other people. I am not like men who steal, cheat, or commit adultery. You picture him like a peacock fluffing his feathers. He's walking, he's strutting. Listen to what he goes on to say. I'm not like men who steal, cheat, or commit adultery. I thank you that I'm better than this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of everything I get. What a guy. What a guy. Isn't he something? Oh my. How many want to go on vacation with this guy? Oh no, no. Give me the runaway anytime, right? Now watch this. I counted eight I's in his self-righteous boasting. All of his confidence, notice, all of his confidence is based on performance. I this, I that, I don't this, I don't that, I do this, I do that. I. It's all self-confident boasting. And it all has to do with merit and performance. And that's how he thinks he got righteous. Jesus adds, the tax collector stood alone too. But when he prayed, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He felt very humble before God. And he said, oh God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I tell you, when this man, the repentant man, finished his prayer and went home, he was right with God. But the Pharisee who felt he was better than others was not right with God. Why? Because he was basing his righteousness on merit and performance, not on grace. Amen.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
The tax collector here is like the prodigal son. And the Pharisee is the older brother. Same thing. The Pharisee is the older brother. Here he is again. There he is in another one of Jesus' parables. So Jesus uses the elder brother character to highlight for us what genuine Christianity is not. You want to know what genuine Christianity is not? It is not meritorious. It is not performance-based. True Christianity, as I said already, is grace-based. Righteousness is not a condition we earn. It's a gift we receive. Amen? Yeah. Our walk with the Father is not based on merit, but it's based on the shed blood of His only begotten Son, who spilled His blood on the cross so that we could be declared righteous. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yeah. So our righteousness doesn't come from jumping through all the right hoops. No, it comes when we say, Jesus, like that man in the parable, Jesus, I can't even look up to heaven. I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I've broken God's laws. I've sinned against heaven and against you. Please forgive me. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, I come to the cross. What's the song say? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen? Yeah. Listen to Paul. You have been saved by grace because you believed. I'm going to read that again. You have been saved by grace because you believed. You did not save yourselves. I'm reading Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9. You did not save yourselves. Everybody say, I did not save myself. No. It was a gift from God. It was a gift from God. You are not saved, he goes on to say, by the things you have done. No, not by jumping through the hoops, not by performance or merit. So there is nothing for us to boast about regarding our salvation. We can't say, well, yesterday I went out and found the Lord. No, you didn't. You didn't find the Lord. The Lord found you. You didn't find the Lord. If the Lord hadn't found you, you'd still be out there in the dark. You wouldn't be sitting in church. You're sitting in church because the Lord's hunted you down. He's the hound of heaven. He backed you into a corner. You remember how it happened, whatever your context was. He backed you into a corner. He convicted you of sin, and you cried out. And when you said, Jesus, forgive me based on your shed blood on the cross, then he forgave you, and you were declared righteous, and it was none of you, and it was all of him. Every scintilla of salvation is God's work. Listen to Hebrews. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, how, everybody, read it with me, by the blood of Jesus. How do we enter in? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way. Let's approach God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. So how do we enter into the holy place? How do we experience righteousness? How do we enter into fellowship with God? By the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Even though you may be really wonderful, really something, you may have 30 degrees. You may have given millions to feed the poor. You may be a great neighbor, an incredible dad or mom, incredible employee, a sterling American. You may be all those things, but it won't get you in. I mean, folks, it won't get you in. God's not going to go, well, everybody else is going to hell, but you're something else. I'm so impressed with you. I mean, you're an exception to the rule. No, it'll never happen. When we go before him, what's our defense going to be? The blood of Jesus. What's our deliverance going to be? The blood of Jesus. What is our entry going to be? The blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the elder brother is trapped in deception. He believes his whole relationship is based on performance and merit. So he doesn't understand the Father. And he stumbles over his mercy. And he stumbles over his forgiveness. And he shows himself to be quite unlike him. Now, why did Jesus add the elder brother into the story of the prodigal son? Because he could have stopped with the prodigal son coming home. Why did he continue and tell us about the elder brother? I'm going to tell you why. Because he's a danger to us all. That's why. Not that we will encounter an elder brother type, but that we would become like him. It happens when you've been in Christ for a while. Yeah, I went to Albertsons, and I got out of Albertsons, and I noted that a tattoo shop had been opened up a couple of doors down from Albertsons, and there were some gnarly-looking people hanging around outside, smoking, covered in tattoos, shaved heads, and you know what I thought to myself? I'm going to be honest with you. I thought, I'm so glad I'm not like them, because I've been walking with God a long time. And that's the danger. When you walk with God a long time, he sets you free, gets you on your feet. You have a tendency, the elder brother can slip in on you and get into you, where because you're clean now and because you're walking right now, you're better. You forget from whence you have come. You forget from whence you have come. And you start looking down on people who are out there in sin. And I said to myself, what a motley crew. And I was just going to walk into Albertsons, and the Holy Spirit, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's always right there with you for good or for chastening? Anyway, as soon as I thought that to myself, the Holy Ghost said, you got a 2x4 in your eye. I said, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. because you just judged them and you used to be just like them, only you had hair down to here and you wore the hip hugger bell bottom blue jeans. But when people looked at you back then, they thought the same thing you're thinking now about them. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have done it. And God nailed me right there that the elder brother had slipped in on me and I'd rather be like the father. Some of you are going, I'm so glad that never happens with me. Listen, yes, it does. So let me ask you a question. Are we a soul winning church? Yes. Do you want to reach the culture? Do you? Let me tell you what can't be here. The elder brother. He can't be here. That spirit, that attitude can't be here. Friday, I was on a panel, a Zoom recorded interview on transgenderism. And on the panel was the president of the National Pediatrics Association, a lifelong pediatrician and had been in medicine all of his life, brilliant man. On the panel was an attorney with a nationwide legal ministry where he helps churches pro bono who get in trouble. And two former transgenders were there. In case you don't know, a transgender is someone who is born with either male or female, and they are convinced that they are something else. A man will say, I'm born a man, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, and vice versa, the woman will say that. But these two had been delivered, and they were very, very articulate, and they were talking about how they got into it. And one of them said, what healed me was when I got into a church that didn't try to fix me immediately, but just loved me where I was. And that's what hit me. Now watch. If you don't watch it, somebody comes in who's very unlike you, and they sit there, and the first thing they're wondering is, can they love me, or are they going to try to immediately fix me? And if they can't fix me, I'm out. And God talked to me about this. If we're going to reach this culture, let me tell you something. Our culture is in a place that would make the prodigal son blush. So when they come in, if we say, oh, well, we want to reach the culture, but how are they going to be treated when they come in? So what God said to me is, I want you to talk about the elder brother, and I want you to tell them, and I'm telling you, Jeff, you can't have the elder brother in you and reach the culture, because you will say, harumph, like I did with those tattooed kids outside, and God will have to convict us. So not just trans, folks, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the transgender deal and all of that confusion is knocking on every door of every church. So not just that, but if prostitutes came in, if blue hair, pink hair, purple hair, no hair, covered in tattoos, how are they gonna be treated here? See, what I wanna say is, we gotta be careful we don't let the elder brother in. How many of you, listen, I was freaky. Oh, I was freaky. I walked into one church right after I got saved, that somebody had said, oh, there's a great big church down the street, Jeff. This is right after I got saved and I had hair down to here. I was a hippie. You know, the song came out, are you a boy or are you a girl? Yeah, boy, you look like a girl. Well, I didn't look like a girl in my face or anything, but I had the hair. And a lot of people in my culture had a problem with that and thought that I was freaky looking. And I walked into this church in my blue jeans and a pullover shirt, and I sat down, and I was immediately aware no one was saying hi. No one was coming up to me. No one was receiving me, because I didn't have on a suit. Do now. Didn't have on a suit. Didn't look like them. Didn't talk like them, didn't come from their background, and I was out. And I got up and I walked out before the message was even finished. I walked out and I said, Lord, if that's church, no thank you. Because I wasn't raised in church. That's the first church I walked into. And they rejected me. You know why? The elder brother was there. We want the father here who says, come home.
Thanks for listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, hardwired.org. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, hardwired.org. While you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff. We know they've been an encouragement to you, so be sure to forward them on to a friend who you think needs to hear today's message or any of the messages there at the website. It might be the very thing they need to be encouraged as well. Again, the website is hardwired.org or call us at 877-884-3111. If you haven't been to the website lately, jump on over there and take a look at all we have for you. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Hardwired is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift through our website, hardwired.org, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly do appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Hardwired.